Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa DeYoung. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator, passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. I am saying that to myself as well because I have taken a few weeks break because Richard and I, we moved house only a few weeks ago. And I forgot how much of an upheaval moving house can be. So yeah, I needed a bit of a break and from a few bits in my life, a few bits in work. And yeah, took a little bit of a break from the podcast. And here I am. Here we are. It's great to be back. I've had some really great conversations with clients over the last couple of weeks. I've still been working and I've still been facilitating my work. And yeah, I've had some really interesting ideas come up for the podcast and I have missed speaking with you guys. So it's great to be back here to chat with you. And today I want to talk about this topic of realizing what we are doing well already in our lives, whether that's in our self-care or in how we live our lives or in how our brains work. And the reason I want to talk about this is because it's just something that has come up for me over the last couple of weeks, is realizing that there can be this inner critic that's happening in the background, giving us a hard time for decisions we make or your self-care or how you organize your life or how you prioritize things or the way that you kind of operate in the world. You know, where we can be constantly bombarded by improving our way of being and our way of showing up or our way of managing life. And actually, when we take a step back from that and look at the things we're doing well, it can really take us by surprise. And because I have moved house in the last couple of weeks, I was confronted with my own inner critic with a few bits. And then I took a step back and I realized, oh, there's actually a lot of things I'm doing pretty well. So I'm going to talk about that and tell you a little bit of a story. And before we get into that, I want to give you an update because people have been asking me about courses and programs and what's happening. So I want to just do a little plug, if that's okay. So the Menstrual Coach Academy for this year is now underway. We have a beautiful group of women from all around the world in there taking part in the course. And I do that. The Menstrual Coach Academy is a program that is a closed program. So what I mean by that is it's the doors open and then the doors closed and then the group stays closed and we're working. It's not something where people are kind of coming in and out, because the group dynamic is part of the curriculum and getting to know each other is part of the journey and the curriculum. And it's a really, really wonderful journey that we go on. So we did start that in July and that runs till December. But the good news is I have just put up on my website the dates for 2027. So we're starting the 2027 cohort in February. So that's actually, I know that seems like ages away, but it's really not that far away. So if you want to be in the next cohort, make sure you head on over to menstrualcoachacademy.com, get your name in the waitlist. You can just sign up there or follow the link down below in the show notes and get your name on the waitlist. It's kind of like an email list. And you will be first to hear when you can apply as well for the 2027 cohort. So that's going to be February 2027 till July 2027. And yeah, I hope to see you there. It'll be a different time of year. It's going to be end of winter coming into spring, summer. And a lot of people ask me as well, do I need to be there live all the time? And the answer is no. We record all the calls. It's obviously great when you can come live, but with it being a course that runs into summer, you know, some people have holiday plans or travel plans. That is totally fine. Don't let that be a reason to not sign up. You can come when you can and then catch up on the recordings when you can do that. And it's just a great opportunity to learn in a way that works with your lifestyle, with your schedule, and with whatever is happening for you. So head on over to the menstrualcoachacademy.com, get on the waitlist for that, and I will be letting you know when the doors are open, but the dates are there. The other thing I want to mention is I think I've mentioned before, I've talked about this loads. It just hasn't happened yet because it's been in development, but it's happening very soon, is the Menstrual Cycle Mastery Collective, the Menstrual Mastery Collective. So that is a membership program. It's not a professional training. It's very different to the Menstrual Coach Academy. It is a place where you can come for personal reasons and practice the skills that we are talking about in the podcast. Menstrual cycle awareness, hormonal harmony, rewiring pain pathways, etc. And that is going to be, I did say it was going to launch in September, but I'm going on honeymoon in September, so we're launching in October. So it's actually also not very far away. So do head on over to the link down below on my website and for that, and get your name on the waitlist. And we will be opening doors to that soon as well. And the way that will work is it's a membership. You will get access to the full course curriculum of Menstrual Cycle Mastery, the full program that you can watch in your own time with videos and exercises. And then every week you have access to coaching calls with me and we get to practice the skills together and you'll get all the support. And it's such a great membership to be part of because you're working on your healing. You're working on your nervous system, you're working on your menstrual cycle, but also life happens. You know, I was just talking to a client this morning who had been through a traumatic event and that had nothing to do with her menstrual cycle, but a very serious traumatic event that happened to her that really impacted her. And she reached out to me and I was able to do a session with her and hold space for her because we already had a relationship. So yeah, having people in your life like a coach or a therapist or a membership or a community that you just have, you know, that are there available for you when and if, hopefully they don't happen, but if they do happen, that you have them there and that you know those people already. And I know I have that in my life. I have a few support people I go to in times of crisis, and because I've worked with them before and I trust them and I like their way of working, it's just great to be able to have it there. So that's the purpose of the membership for you. And what else do I have? On the 10th of October, if you are in Ireland, I am co-facilitating a retreat day with a colleague, Gina. It's an in-person workshop in County Wicklow. And I will also put the link for that in the notes. Some people are, I actually have a shout out to Lily, a former student traveling over to Ireland for that. So she's making a nice trip to Ireland. She's always wanted to come to Ireland. And then she's going to come to the retreat day. So if you're not in Ireland and you want to come, you're more than welcome to come and have a retreat day with us. And there's lots of beautiful places to stay in Wicklow. And if you are in Ireland, anywhere in Ireland, it's on a Sunday. So it's a nice day of the weekend, you know, to make a little day trip, a little road trip and come and be with us in Circle. And yeah, you can have a look at what we're going to be covering there. Gina is going to be doing some movement, some tapping, some yoga nidra. And then I will be facilitating reflective work around the menstrual cycle and learning around the menstrual cycle and rewiring our relationship with our cycles and looking at pain science as well. Okay, so let's get into today's topic. I'm probably going to keep it short enough because, as you can see, I don't, my office, if you're watching on YouTube, my office is still in disarray. I have a lot of boxes everywhere. My desk is in the kind of the wrong corner right now because the light, and I need to reorient my whole office, and that will take a while because that's a little bit of a creative project. But yeah, we can't let us stop us from getting our work done. So here we are. But yeah, I want to talk about where this idea of, you know, bringing our mind and our attention to where are we doing things well already. Okay, so I'll give you a little story. So we've moved house, and Richard and I, it's been a huge year for us. We got married in April. Just before we got married, we bought a house. And then, of course, buying a house takes a while. The process takes a while. So it's just been a lot of upheaval, a lot of, like, it's all really positive stuff. And I'm so grateful. But it has been kind of tiring and kind of stressful. And because I work for myself, my schedule can be a little bit all over the place. So the things that root me are my home and my routines at home and like knowing where things are and my meals and my exercise and my, I just those kinds of resources that would really stabilize me in a kind of regular routine. But now I'm very much out of that and figuring out where things are in boxes and having to kind of rebuild a whole new self-care routine, etc., and then a new community. So it's just a lot of change and a lot of upheaval. And it's been good, but it's also tiring. And I find it's tiring. So yeah, that's how I've been feeling. And what happened? Okay, so what happened was we moved here and we have this beautiful living room with a big sliding door that's an extension on the house we bought that looks out into a small garden. And the living room gets a lot of beautiful light. And then there is like a place where you put your television. So there's a TV there. And I started to roll out my yoga mat and get on my mat. And then I was turning on, because we have this TV where you can access YouTube. So I was putting on YouTube, and there are yoga teachers who I follow on YouTube, who I subscribe to their channels. And I started doing some of their classes, and I was just doing, you know, little bits of yin yoga. And then I had this desire to find a teacher who had a bit more of a strong practice. So a bit more like vinyasa or ashtanga, even hatha, and just more than like a yin class, like a bit more heat and a bit more strength work. And I started doing classes like that on YouTube. And anyway, so that was kind of interesting. And then I was like spending quite a lot of time like reading about yoga and having a conversation with ChatGPT. And I started like following some people on Instagram and just watching, like I started watching YouTube videos of yoga while sitting on my couch, not doing the yoga, but just interested in what they were doing and kind of wanting to know like what a teacher was teaching and what was in that particular sequence. And I was just like kind of watching these yoga classes while I was like eating my lunch here in our new house. And I was like, this is kind of weird. Like, why am I doing this? This is so weird. And then I realized, oh, like I'm really craving like a strong class. And I had also been researching yoga classes in Dublin. We're about a half an hour on the bus from the city center. And I was kind of like going on Google Maps and researching different yoga classes. And then a part of me was giving myself a hard time for just, you know, being on my phone and being on YouTube and, you know, not really unpacking my boxes and kind of just, you know, dilly-dallying. You know, I was kind of giving myself a little bit of a hard time about, like, a part of me was giving myself a hard time for this. And then I took a step back from that and I was like, wait, what? Like, this is really interesting. And then I thought about it and I realized, oh, okay, so we moved to Wicklow about 3 years ago, which is a different part of Ireland, but it's in the east. It's south of Dublin, okay? It's a different vibe. We were near the beach and now we're in the city. And when we moved to Wicklow, that was further south than I had ever moved before, and I didn't really know anyone. And it was a new move for us. Like, it wasn't hugely different, but it was still like a whole new community and I didn't have roots there. So when we moved to Wicklow, I was researching, you know, things like the gym and the swimming pool. And anyway, I found a yoga class. And I'm not really like, I wouldn't describe myself as a yogi. I've never talked about it on the podcast. And it's like, I've never trained as a yoga teacher and I don't really know how to speak the yoga, you know, the yoga language. But I realized that when we were living in Wicklow, and it sounds so silly to say this, but I attended yoga classes every single week. And I found this lady who teaches yoga and her name is Liz Richards. Shout out to Liz. She's a fabulous teacher. I found her class. And the first day I went to her class, I remember thinking, wow, this is a really great class, because I have been to actually quite a lot of yoga classes and Pilates classes, because in my athletic years, I did a lot of that stuff for injuries reasons. And when I was in my early 20s, I also trained as a Pilates teacher because I was just interested in anatomy and just followed a curiosity. I never ended up teaching Pilates except for the requirements for the course and a little bit after that. But I kind of used it as part of this work, and then looking into the fascia and then looking into the trauma. So there's a lot of courses I've taken that I don't necessarily practice now, but they're part of my repertoire, if that makes sense. But anyway, what happened was I just was reflecting a lot on the fact that I found Liz's yoga classes, that I felt very connected to her way of teaching, and that I felt very connected in those classes. And at the same time, her classes were challenging. They certainly challenged me physically and mentally. And her classes were quite repetitive. They were not Ashtanga, where it's like exactly the same sequence, but it was Hatha yoga. And there was like a lot of repetition week on week. And I did find myself getting kind of bored in her classes at times. But I knew enough about yoga that it wasn't a reason to leave. It was like a reason to deepen and to stay and to work through the boredom, or to just be okay with it. And also, I also found in my classes with Liz that there were things, you know, I was living in Wicklow for 3 years. So there were times in my life where things were challenging and emotional and scary. And I had, you know, just difficult stuff going on. And that would be very much present with me on the yoga mat in the class. And I would not like being in her class because I would have to be in touch with these feelings, you know, that were just coming up for me while I was doing yoga. So it's funny. So there was this part of me that was like, oh yeah, like I go to this yoga class, but I also don't like it. And then when we finished our time in Wicklow and I was reflecting on my experience with Liz, and I realized, I was like, isn't it interesting that I didn't really like the class, but I still went every single week. I went literally every single week. It was rare that I missed it. And she was so good. If you did miss it for whatever reason, you could catch up on another day in the week. So I would always go to a different class on a different day. But it was just, I guess it was something that really held me, it grounded me. Like I said, I work for myself. My life can be very irregular and, it is scheduled, but there isn't, every day is different. Every week is different for me. And yoga was, you know, a stability in my week. And I noticed myself getting stronger, and it wasn't even about the progress, or it wasn't even about, I guess, becoming yogi or, you know, being a person that does yoga. I hardly talked about it. I hardly thought about it. I just went, and I always felt better after class. I also liked that it was about a 15-minute walk for me. So in the mornings, I'd get up and walk to, I'd have some food, go walk to yoga, and the walk would also wake me up and get me ready for the day. And I felt really good in my body. And I also started at the time I was doing athletics, and it was a really good combination with athletics as well to practice yoga. So anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is then when we uprooted ourselves, moved here to Dublin, and then I noticed myself, you know, on YouTube, researching people in Dublin, which classes to go to, you know, trying classes online, watching classes without actually doing them, looking into membership model, things like that, you know, things to do. And then I realized, so I'm giving myself a hard time for not unpacking my boxes, and I'm dilly-dallying online. And then I realized, I am unpacking my boxes. I am rooting myself in my yoga practice before anything else, you know, before I get back on my podcast, before I find out where my books are or my jewelry is, or, you know, the things that I don't necessarily need every day, like a toothbrush or cooking stuff. And that was so interesting. And I realized, oh, okay, and it just made me realize how important that class was to me, and how much it benefited me. Not because it was like something that made my life, it wasn't like it improved things, it just was. And it was a stability in my life, and it was a regularity. There was the regularity of it and the physicality of it as well, and the strength-based nature of it too. And it didn't always make me feel good, but it was just this constant presence. And I guess it just made me realize like how profound that was, and how grateful I was to the class, and how grateful I am to Liz and to myself, you know, for just going. And even when I didn't like it, and it wasn't that I had to force myself. It was just, I just went, you know, I paid for the class and it just wasn't a question. I just went. So yeah. And then I realized, wow, I am unpacking. It just, my unpacking looks different right now. And my house, my office is still in disarray, and, you know, the house will come together and it'll all be fine. And there's no rush with it. But yeah, sometimes other things are kind of like the priority, and your innate wisdom kind of takes over. And sometimes we can think, oh, I'm procrastinating or I'm dilly-dallying. But actually, if you think about the wisdom underneath, you know, the decisions you're making, or where your motivation is being moved to, or where your energy is being moved to, there's an intelligence there. And maybe that's something to be curious about and to reflect on and to think about it from that different perspective. And I see this in myself. I see it in my clients, particularly if you are someone who can relate to or has a diagnosis of neurodiversity. You know, if you relate to or have ADHD or autism or the two together, or other forms of ways your brain is shaped, that, you know, that maybe the kind of quote unquote normal way of being would be move into a house, unpack all your boxes, then, you know, it's very linear, you know. And or even with other things, it could be in a creative project or in a business or in work or in how you manage your family or in how you manage your food shop. You know, it's like, okay, there's certain, maybe you're already doing things in a way that makes sense to you, but you have been giving yourself a hard time about. You know, I can really relate to this in my work. I don't work in a very linear way, and there's times where I give myself a really hard time for that. And I'm like, oh, I need to be more organized and have more systems and have more structure. But actually, I've gotten pretty far, and I've, you know, worked really hard in my own way, and I've followed this sort of intuitive wisdom. And okay, there has been times where it's been uncomfortable and I have made mistakes, or I've wasted time or wasted energy on things, and that's fine, we're all human, right? But underneath, it's like, oh no, I've gotten this far for a reason, and I have been doing things right. And, you know, it could be also related to how you manage your finances. Maybe there's something you want to improve with that. But if you look at it and ask yourself, okay, what have I been doing well? You know, where have I made smart decisions? Oh, I am good at managing money because I've managed to feed myself, you know, for so long, or I figured things out, you know. So, if I spend too much money, this inner compass starts to kind of go on alarm mode. And I, you know, I just intuitively know that I'm stretching myself. So that's, I guess, the topic of today, is to reflect on anywhere in your life where you are maybe even just like in an insidious way, meaning that you don't even know you're doing it. Like, is there somewhere in your life, anything? It could be your relationship with your menstrual cycle, your relationship with self-care, your relationship with your exercise routine, anything, your diet, and you're giving yourself a bit of a hard time because you know you want to improve it or you want to do things differently. But maybe drop the judgment for a moment and ask yourself, well, you know, what are you doing well already? And bring some attention to that, and then bring some curiosity, and then realize, oh, yeah, I am actually doing well with this thing. Oh, and like in my case, it was like, oh, yeah, like yoga was really important to me. And I almost didn't realize it because I didn't really give it so much attention, which is, I think it's a good thing, because clearly my ego was not in my yoga practice at all, because I hardly talked about it. And now I'm realizing, oh God, I like spent like 3 or 4 years like getting good at yoga. Not that it's something to get good at, you know, but I just did it, you know, like one day at a time, and or 1 week at a time. And now my system is like seeking out a certain type of teacher and a certain type of practice and a certain type of integrity in yoga, and wanting to find, you know, a practice that I can replace that, because that need is now not being met that I didn't realize I had. And now my system is just organically, you know, seeking it out before I unpack every single box. So, yeah, so that's just the today's podcast, is that I want us to think about, you know, where is our inner critic completely inaccurate and not helpful and just not true, And then we need to replace that with, okay, what am I doing really well already? And how are those things true? And it can be really small things, you know? So I would love to hear from you. If you send me a message on Instagram, tell me what areas of your life have you been giving yourself a hard time, but how does that make sense to you? And how is it actually supporting you? Let me know, because I'm really, really curious about that. And it can be eye-opening and really like, you know, really, it's for me, it was like a relief. I was like, oh, realize this, you know. And even though it wasn't a huge deal that I was giving myself a hard time, I just wanted to bring this story in and this example in, because yeah, I think it's important to notice these things, because when we are giving ourselves, or where we have that inner critic running in the background, giving us a hard time on something, that's a lot of energy. A lot of your life force energy is going towards this like resistance and this critic. And then when you realize that, oh, it's not true, it's not accurate, oh, and you are doing things well, the tension can drop in your body, the nervous system can regulate, you start to trust yourself more. And now I'm like, oh, I'm trusting myself. I'm finding my own way with, in this example, unpacking my house. I'm finding my own way with my process. I don't have to compare myself to people on all the perfect houses I'm seeing on Instagram and, you know, with interior design stuff or whatever. And it's okay that I have, you know, boxes sitting around for months or weeks or whatever, you know? And that's just a very, like, you know, low char. It's not a highly triggering topic, but it's just an interesting dynamic to catch, because I think this sort of like insidious judgment that can happen and thinking we should be somewhere else where we're not can really drain us from our energy and also deny us of the actual truth of what's actually happening. So I want us to step out of that inner critic for a minute, really look at it and be like, no, where am I actually doing well? Write those things down, put them on a post-it, you know, remind yourself of like, oh no, where is your intelligence actually onto something? And start to build a relationship, build intimacy with your own intuition, your own intuitive way of organizing your life, making decisions, your self-care, the way you do things, the way your brain works, the way you manage your business. Of course, there's always going to be things that we need to improve and change and tweak and get support with, you know, absolutely. But I think we overlook where our intelligence is actually doing its job. And it's a lot nicer. It's a lot nicer way to live when we give that a bit of space and a bit of gratitude, you know, and be like, no, I am I, my intelligence, I have a strong intuition, and my body was like seeking out a good yoga practice because that supported me, and I need that, and that will help me unpack boxes and not injure myself. Anyway, so that's the thought of the day, my friends. And again, reminder, the Menstrual Coach Academy is starting in February 2027. So you can head on over to the website to read about that. We've got the Menstrual Mastery Collective. That's the for anyone who just wants to practice this work for personal reasons, starting in October. And then the in-person workshop in on the 10th of October 2026 here in Wicklow in Ireland, and you're very welcome to come to that. Let me know if you're traveling. And that is it. And if you've any requests for any topics at all, let me know and I will add them to my list. Okay, lots of love and speak to you soon. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.